Good morning. We're on the air. Thank you, everybody. Temperature is a little bit warmer. It's still mighty gray. So we know that March will end, then April will end, and someday we will have spring. Let's have a roll call.
Governor Quinn, Secretary Schneider, Chair Wolf, Director Banks, Director Darcy, Director Dodson.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Reddick.
Here.
Director Sweeney.
Here.
Director Weisner.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I've not been notified that there's anybody who's interested in making public comment. Anybody who? No? Okay, well then we'll move right to the agenda items. Let's start with the chair report. I apologize, we haven't got the minutes finalized yet. We've just had a series of issues, but we will get them to you, and there's no problem with them. We just want to make sure that everybody who is responsible for parts of them have had an opportunity to go over them. So we'll take those up at the April board meeting. Why don't we turn to the committee reports? There were two committee meetings, and Chair Peterson, if you would report on yours.
The Finance Committee met on March 19th. We had an extended meeting, probably close to 2 to 3 hours, covered quite a few items. Finance presented the 2013 year-end financial results. Revenue for the year exceeded the revised estimates by $11.8 million. I think we topped the billion mark for the first time in revenue. Operation spending was $5.9 million under budget, and capital spending was below the revised estimate by about $87 million. Kathy, I believe, is going to present in greater detail today the fourth quarter financial results, 2013. Finance also provided a debt management update with their which reviewed results of two refunding bond issues to reduce the debt service. We reviewed the renewals and replacement of the authority's liquidity and credit facilities. We reviewed the timing of the authority's next new money bond issuance and the sale of which is expected in April. And we reviewed the authority's investment policy and debt management guidelines expected to occur within the next 2 to 3 months. And Kathy's going to speak a little more detail about that today, to those guidelines. Well, Bill is going to speak about that today. Okay, good. Additionally, Finance presented three items to the committee. To the committee, a recommendation to award a contract to Corvel Enterprise in the amount estimated at $795,650 to provide claim processing and claim administration services for the tollway self-funded workers' comp program. The second was a recommendation to award a contract to Minnesota Life Insurance Company in the amount not to exceed $1.4 million for employee term life insurance. I believe that was a 3-year contract. Also a recommendation to award a contract to Mesro Insurance Services in the amount of $39,000 for insurance broker services to obtain cyber liability insurance protection. This insurance is expected to provide the tollway with coverage that will help indemnify against costs associated with the security breach of the customer information database, a la Target. The request is was approved for a 5-year contract in committee. Procurement presented three items, the purchase of in-ground vehicle truck hoist, the purchase of sandstone and gravel, and the purchase of a computer-aided dispatch system maintenance. I believe John Zanotto will have two additional items to present today.
Yes, direct. We'll present them today.
Chief Engineer Paul Kovacs had 29 items on the agenda, but only presented, I think, 19. I think there's 7 you're going to present today.
Yes.
And we did have a chance to review in committee last week. Of highlights, there were 3 small business set-aside contracts and 7 unbundled contracts that were in that announcement. Of the 19 engineering items that were presented, 7 were construction contracts, 1 amendment to a resolution, 3 professional service contract awards, 1 supplement to an engineering contract, 1 construction change order, 4 construction partial release of retainage, 2 construction final release of retainage. They were all discussed in great detail. We talked about the additional items. There were 2 other construction contract awards which will be deferred. Is there a pending review for a DBE waiver? Is that correct?
There's one that we were able to finalize the review for today.
For today, okay.
Consideration by the board.
Okay. And there was extra work order which was presented today for work on the west portion of I-90. Okay. And then lastly, there's 2 land acquisition items that will go into executive session. Correct? That's good. Legal presented 4 intergovernmental agreements in public session. There were also 2 workers' comp litigation items that will be discussed in executive session today. The first IGA was with the Village of Schaumburg in Cook County. The IGA establishes parties' cost-sharing responsibilities associated with the construction of a full-access interchange at I-90 and Roselle Road. The second IGA was with the Illinois Transportation, the Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago, and the Mount Prospect Park District. The agreement permits the tollway to excavate soil from land owned by the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District and provides for property conveyance to the tollway from the district. The third IGA is with the Village of Schaumburg. This agreement establishes the party's costs with respect to bridge widening and reconstruction of the Meacham Road over I-90 associated with construction of a future interchange. The fourth IGA is with McHenry County. The agreement will allow McHenry County to share the weather data collected from the tollway's weather station that will be installed on the new bridge at Harmony Riley Road over I-90. Return McHenry County will assume maintenance responsibilities for the bridge deck. Additionally, Liz is here today, Luby, and will present two items regarding board composition and the amendment of bylaws.
I actually think I get to do that, right?
You do.
You get the policy decision, okay.
And then Liz gets to correct.
Any questions? Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, and Chair Reddick.
The Customer Service Committee met on the 20th, a week ago. Were three main areas, or three main issues that we talked about. The first was, we took up the issue of a corporate or commercial partner for transponder service in the Rockford area. Director Dodson had been working and brought up this issue. As you are aware, we have a corporate partner here in the Chicagoland area, the greater Chicagoland area with Chulalongo, where people can go in and exchange transponders. We don't have the same presence at Chulalongo in the Rockford area, so up until now we've used Road Ranger. We have three separate locations, and that contract is due to expire this year. So with that in mind, the committee had a discussion about putting out an RFP, and we talked about what our ideal model was as far as what we would be looking for in a partner in that area. We talked about the benefits of a single provider like that we use with Chulalongo in this area as far as being able to brand it and communicate. But I think the main focus that we had was we wanted to ensure that we had full geographic coverage and work with partners that would allow greater and full service for transponders. So with that, we put together some information. Staff's putting together the RFP. We anticipate that to go out in the next couple of months. And we are going to partner, work with local transportation groups, chambers, and business groups to make sure that we can try and maximize the responses there. To get the best possible response and agreement. From there, we went on and talked about our fleet program. Specifically in 2014, there's three areas that we're looking to expand. As you know, this has been a focus of the committee for a while now and of the entire organization trying to maximize our work with these fleet groups. During 2014, we anticipate putting together a dedicated team at the call center that will deal solely with these fleet issues. One of the things that we found is that the fleet calls and the amount of time that we are dealing with fleet are about twice as long as we are with individuals. So hopefully by having this dedicated team, we can better deal with that. We also talked about settlement guidelines that will allow us to better deal with that. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. It's on today's agenda. And expanded use of email and able to work with and communicate with these fleet representatives to deal with issues. Also got an update on our back office system. Currently the hardware is installed for testing. The system is in the process of design and we're working on our training plan. So things are moving along as planned. So quickly, just let me revisit the settlement guidelines. As you'll note, today on the agenda under item 6.3, you have before you a proposal for amended settlement guidelines. We talked about a number of different areas, and one of the areas we had hoped to bring a full package to the board. One of the areas requires a little bit more work and analysis. We're looking for some hard numbers on one of the proposals, so that's not going to happen. However, there is a sunset clause in the settlement guidelines as they're written, so it's imperative that we move forward and bring them before the board and whether we're going to extend that. So that's one of the items and the changes that are in the settlement guidelines before you is extending the sunset. The second one is an amendment which allows our customer service representatives to deal with these third-party vendors that a lot of the fleets are using. A lot of these fleets have turned over their management of IPAS accounts and electronic tolling throughout the United States to a vendor that does the management for them. Recognizing that this is a change in the industry and in an attempt to better serve our customers, the amendment before you allows direct communication with those vendors on behalf of the people that are using it or the companies that are using it. And that's the sum and substance of where we are there. That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Obviously, as we go through the items on the agenda, if you have specific questions on some of these things, you can ask and raise them. I want to thank the chairs and the members of all of the committees for the work. As you can see from the summary of what's presented here, a lot goes on at the committee level. We do have items 7 and 8 under legal that I wanted to address, and that those deal with two issues. The first is reconstituting two of these committees into one. So when I was first appointed and Kristen came to the tollway, I think we felt as if there were a lot of very thorny issues around customer service, and put together a special committee on that, and Trustee Wisner also did a committee on OASIS, which were on the brink of bankruptcy. So those were two just very hot issues that we wanted to make sure that members of the board were involved in and could help give judgment and advice and direction on. Thanks both to Bill Morris, who was the original chair, and Director Reddick, I think on the customer service side, and obviously Christy and all of the people on her staff who have been doing this work. I think we're now at a point where the customer service, while still extremely important, is not at the same kind of critical crisis level that we had before with the new system coming in. I think a lot of these issues, or we think that a lot of these issues really sync up very well with the kinds of things we're thinking about doing in strategic planning, and we have been doing in strategic planning. So the recommendation, and with the support of the chairs of both of those committees, we're going to go forward and put those two committees together, and the current chairs have graciously agreed to be co-chairs of that new committee, and we've got the members of the committee who are going to participate in that. You know, if for some reason it doesn't work, we can always go back to the other model, but it feels as if this is a time where a lot of these issues really go down to fundamental principles about how we're operating the institution, and those things should be embedded in a strategic planning process as well, which is obviously focused on customer service. So we'll see how it works. I feel confident it will work well, and I want to thank people for their individual service on these committees and then thank them for in the prospective for the work on these committees, the committee that's going to be combined. The second thing we're doing is coming up with some alternates that will be approved by the board today. So if people are unable to come to the committee meetings, we don't have a problem with a lack of quorum. We want to make sure that those people are designated now by all of the board to avoid the appearance that somebody might be substituted for somebody else for a particular reason at the committee level. So we want to make sure that we've got that in our bylaws and also incorporated in an action of the board. Just as the committees were appointed, we consulted with everybody. I think everybody's comfortable with this. I don't imagine we're going to have alternates all that often, but I just want to make sure we have that process in place. So those are going to come up in sections 7 and 8. Christy says, do we want to have discussion now? Any discussion, concerns, questions about these two provisions? Yeah, I think we had an opportunity to either email or talk to all the board members about this in advance. So, and again, if anything comes up as we move through this process, we certainly can revisit this. I'd like to just mention two other things. The first is Jim Wagner's report in summary is going to be presented today. I just wanted to mention that at our last meeting at our executive session, we had an opportunity for him to meet separately with the board members. So if they had any questions, because these are personnel matters, they were covered by the executive session regulations in the Open Meeting Act. But if any of the directors want to take up any of these separately again in executive session, we can certainly do that. But I think we got all the questions answered on those. And then the last thing I wanted to mention was the press conference that was held, was it only last Friday? I think it was only last Friday. And Christy is going to talk about that. I'm sorry, we didn't compare those. Let me just make two quick points, if I could, which she probably will not make because of the humility of the executive staff. I just wanted to comment on how well I thought it had been organized, what a great job everybody had done putting it together. It was very representative, and I think again, show that the tollway professionally is just on top of its game and doing a great job. And then I wanted to just comment personally on two things, and that is, first, I was very impressed by a CEO of a company who had decided to stay in Illinois because his company will be near a tollway. He said they looked at a bunch of sites. They were all near the tollway. It was very important to him that the tollways. He threw away his prepared remarks to say this, which I thought was great. But remind us that one of the things we're doing here is really helping Illinois and economic development. And the other is, on my way to the parking lot, I was walking with a man who was part of a small company that was a minority-owned firm, and he said for the first time he really felt very good and comfortable with the way the tollway was dealing with minority firms. He felt his firm was on even footing with everybody else. They were competing well. I said, of course, we are always looking for more. I'm frustrated, and I think the board is frustrated, that we don't have a large number of groups applying, companies applying. I know we're doing a great job on outreach. And he said, well, you know, for a long time, people didn't think that it would really matter if we applied. And he said, I personally am going to spread the word and make sure that everybody knows that this is serious and the tollway is dealing with minority and women-owned firms seriously and really wants to get them involved in the process. So it was just very reassuring to hear him say that. And I know Christy will talk more about this press conference, but I just personally was... wanted to pass along those two comments. And then finally, everybody who spoke, I think, spoke about how well the tollway had performed during the winter and the storm, and I wanted to make sure, and we know that's more than just the people who are out on the trucks, it's the people here who are constantly doing the work, the troopers, so I wanted to make sure that everybody here knew that that had happened and that you pass along to the people who can't come to these board meetings how much appreciation I think everybody in the public and at this meeting, including the governor, felt about the work of the tollway. So, and that may have been stepping on your toes.
That's okay.
Okay. So that was all that I had, and if anybody has any questions. Okay, Christy.
Great, thank you. So, you know, as Paula mentioned, we did have that announcement last week with Governor Quinn last Friday, so thank you for the board, first and foremost, for your support of our program, but also for the folks who were able to attend. You know, it was very well attended and I think broadly representative of all of the stakeholders who have engaged with us on our capital program and construction program. So, you know, local officials were represented there, labor leaders, workers from the job sites, which I always find very moving, frankly, to see those folks there, but also to hear them speak. We actually did have a worker who spoke who mentioned that she, because of the Tollways Move Illinois program, had been able to get back into the construction industry and actually bought a house in November and started her own family because she now, you know, had the means to do those things, which is, a touching thing to hear and wonderful to hear that our efforts are resulting in that. And then, as mentioned, the Representative Rick McMahon from Sunstar, who spoke about on the other side, you know, we all know and see the workers who were out there actually working on the projects, but just his company's relocation and expansion here in Illinois on the tollway system as a result of the infrastructure we're building. So that's very exciting. So 2014 is going to be a big year. You've heard us say it before, but $1.4 billion of work is going to be going on. We think that that could support or create as many as 15,000 jobs. We're going to be rebuilding 160 lane miles of road, repairing 70 bridges, building or improving 20 different interchanges. So it's going to be a big year. And we know that engineering and diversity and finance and, you know, almost every entity, procurement, almost every entity here at the tollway, every department is engaged in helping us deliver this program for the region. So we thank all of you for your, all of the team here for your hard work, and it is definitely a lot of hard work that goes into it. So
I should have mentioned, if you ever need somebody to run a pep rally, Director Sweeney. If you bring the pom-poms, he'll do the pep.
Have you ever been described as peppy before?
No, but no. I won't be on the top of the pyramid.
I had not seen you perform before. It was very interesting.
So that was a great event. So thanks, everyone, for your help in organizing it. It's also, you know, personally, just moving on to another couple items here. you know, I often am the one who gets to stand up and give the remarks or talk about the great things that Tollway's doing, but I'm well aware every time I do that that there are many, many people who do the day-to-day work and are responsible for the successes that we have here, and I'm very lucky to have such a great team. And I wanted to point out some honors that some of our team members are receiving in the next couple of weeks, just so that you're all aware. You know, first, I'm pleased to and proud to work with Paul Kovacs, who's the head of our engineering department, who's a little confused right now. He probably would have arranged to come late if he would have known I was going to speak about him. But, you know, Paul is has really accomplished a great deal as chief engineer at the Tollway, and he's worked his way up through the ranks of the Tollway to be the chief engineer here, so he really understands the Tollway and the Tollway system, and he and his team have done such an excellent job on Move Illinois and delivering all of the capital projects that they've been responsible for. And also, you know, this is the unit that maintains our roadways, so all of those kudos about how great it is to travel on the Tollway in the winter, you know, can very much be directed to he and his team. And, you know, I'm delighted that Paul is now being recognized for those contributions. I know he's been recognized before, but now being publicly recognized for his contributions to the construction industry and his service to the community. He's recently been named Professional of the Year by the March of Dimes. He's going to be honored at a luncheon on Friday, April 4th. March of Dimes Construction and Transportation Luncheon at the Chicago Hilton. It's a great event, a great cause, and you know, a great opportunity to have a large gathering that supports a large gathering of industry, but ultimately that supports a very worthy cause, which is the fight against premature birth and birth defects and all of the good work the March of Dimes does. So I wanted to just mention that because Paul, of course, didn't even tell me that he'd received this honor, so because he's very modest and humble, and so now I'm making sure everybody knows.
Well-deserved.
Yes. So now that he looks like he's in pain, I'm going to inflict the pain on another member of the senior team here. So our EEO and ethics officer, Lisa Williams, has been recognized for really a very prestigious award, the Chicago Defender Women of Excellence Awards. So, you know, she is being recognized not only for her professional contributions, but also the great volunteer work and community and charitable involvement. Ceremony is going to be held on April 17th at the Fairmont Hotel in Chicago. She's being honored as one of 50 exemplary women from various professional, civic, and community organizations, and we're really happy that her contributions have been recognized by the Chicago Defender, and on behalf of the Tollway, I want to congratulate her for this recognition. So, now I'm going to turn it over, if I could, to Captain Kimes to talk a little bit about the state police and some of your efforts around enforcement, particularly having to do with some commercial vehicles on all roadways in Illinois, correct?
Yes. Over the last couple of years, Illinois State Police has lost two officers, both resulting from accidents involving commercial vehicles. And what we're doing, the last of which was Trooper Sar here in District 15, and the anniversary for that will be tomorrow, March 28th. It'll be 1 year since we lost Trooper Sar. And so as an agency, in a way to recognize and honor the service that he did for this agency, we're conducting what we deem Operation Sar. It will be a statewide patrol operation for the 24-hour period tomorrow. The emphasis on it of it will be on enforcing our Fatal Five violations, which include DUI, seatbelts, speeding, and distracted driving, as well as fatigue driving. And we're going to place a strict emphasis on this, not only for the general public, but for commercial motor vehicles. All of our officers statewide in the Division of Operations will be out in force, saturating the highways and interstates. We will be conducting roadside safety checks. We will be conducting specific commercial motor vehicle details. Here in District 15, we have two details directed toward commercial motor vehicles scheduled for tomorrow, one on I-355 and one on I-294. In addition, each shift, we will be having directed details. We've staffed as much as we can, manpower staffing for each shift, so we will have directed details throughout the 24-hour period. And as an agency, we thought this would be a good way to, as we move forward into the spring and summer travel season, to bring public awareness to safe driving. Fatigue driving is a specific issue for us with commercial motor vehicles, but we're seeing it across the board with other motorists as well, in addition to the distracted driving. So statewide tomorrow, be aware that we will be out in force, all roadways statewide. And like I said, the main purpose is to bring attention to the public to safe driving, but it also is to honor the service of Trooper Sauer.
A smart way to honor him for them. That's
thank you. And of course, as always, you know, District 15 is such a great partner to us. So we thank you for that service. But, you know, of course, all state police and frankly law enforcement across the state that put themselves in harm's way to protect others. I wanted to mention earlier this year, as we know, a very tragic crash occurred on the tollway system and claimed the life of one of our own employees, Vincent Petrella, and seriously injured an Illinois State Police Trooper, Douglas Balder, which I think he's still recovering slowly but surely, we hope, from those injuries. So the truck driver was charged with multiple felonies, including driving while fatigued, falsifying truck driving logs, and driving more than 14 consecutive hours, which is something that they're not supposed to do. Earlier this month, the U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration announced plans to press ahead with an update to its proposed rule that mandates the installation of electronic logging devices in commercial vehicles. These electronic logging devices would be, they're also known as ELDs, and they're used to automatically log the number of hours and miles traveled in a way that can't be easily manipulated, as paper logbooks, of course, we know maybe more prone to be, because they're directly linked into the truck system. So the proposed rule would make it more difficult for truck and bus drivers to misrepresent their time in those logbooks and thus avoid detection by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration and various law enforcement personnel that may be pulling them over to check on things like safety and hours. So this federal safety agency anticipates that the use of ELDs will help reduce crashes by fatigued drivers and prevent approximately 20 fatalities and 434 injuries each year. So incredibly important. We're very supportive, of course, of them moving forward with this. And for those reasons, we strongly support these efforts, and I wanted to make the board aware so that, you know, to the extent you have opportunities to also support the advancement of these rules and this important change to electronic logging devices, we think can't be too soon. So after the new proposed rule is published in the Federal Register, there's going to be a 60-day public comment period, and the FMCSA, so the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, will have the opportunity to make changes. So the compliance date would then take effect 2 years after the final rule is published, which could, that publication could happen by the end of this year. So, you know, we'll be working with the state police and other state agencies to potentially provide the appropriate, you know, comment during the open comment period. But again, we hope to engage everyone here in support for that important change. So.
Is it in-state as well as intrastate monitoring?
Yes, this would be federal. Yeah. This would be at the federal level. So I think one of the, you know, I guess challenges you would say is that many of these regulations having to do with these commercial vehicles need to be federal level changes are implemented at the federal level, because so many come across state lines and companies are headquartered in different states, but their trucks are driving all over the country. So it's very important that something consistent happens across the country. So it would be a change nationally.
But locally, in-state trucks as well would have to
be. Absolutely, yes. I think under the proposed rule, we'll see what ultimately is published, but we're obviously very supportive of it and hope that everyone will be, and that we'll see that change in the not too distant.
Once they're published, it might be good if you wouldn't mind just sending a summary for all of the board members, so we're sensitive.
Yep, we will certainly.
And then maybe just, you know, a little schedule of what the process is.
Yep.
When the comment period is.
We'll certainly do that. I wanted to ask, you know, we've got the quarterly financial review report is technically under the finance section, but because we have debt management as well, I'm hoping we can kind of take the two together since Kathy Williams is going to be doing both of them. If that's acceptable to everyone, I'll.
She keeps saying Bill's going to do the other one.
Oh, Bill's going to do the other one. Oh, I'm sorry.
But they are intellectually committed. Okay. Even if you keep making him do the other.
So if I could move up the quarterly financial
sure.
review, because I think that sets the stage for, you know, debt management, which is obviously an important part, subset of our overall financials. So Mike Kelsch is out this week, but we are happy to have Kathy Williams here, who's going to be able to run through the quarterly financial report. As you know, we did this at the FAO committee last week and went through and had some significant discussion about it, but we always like to at least do another briefing for the entire board. We're pleased that this is the review basically of 2013, so fourth quarter of 2013, and thus really the year 2013's full year. So we're pleased that 2013 revenue exceeded our projections by nearly $12 million. Passenger and commercial vehicle transactions on our system continue to grow per these numbers, and our capital spending was less than expected in 2013, mostly due to schedule changes, project cost savings, and the timing of land acquisition, but ultimately the projects themselves remain on schedule, which is the good news. So, Kathy, if you'd like to go ahead, we can go through the kind of year-end review for 2013.
Great, thank you. And just a reminder that these results are preliminary and unaudited, but we don't expect them to change when the final audit report comes out.
Is your mic on, Kathy?
Can you hear me now?
No.
Try to talk a lot louder. So, but as Christy mentioned, revenues exceeded $1 billion this year, the first time in the tollway's history. It was $12 million greater than our revised estimates. This was primarily due to toll and evasion recovery. Commercial vehicle traffic was especially strong in the third and fourth quarters. Passenger vehicles also grew as well and contributed to this estimate. And again, even though commercial vehicle traffic, or passenger vehicle traffic was had increased, I think commercial vehicle traffic is what really stood out in this quarter. Maintenance and operations was $5.9 million below budget. This was driven mostly by vacancies and lower spending and contractual services, as well as partially offset by an allocation to our workers' compensation claim, workers' claim reserve fund. And we'll talk about that a little later. Our capital program was $87 million below the revised estimate, again, due to changes, schedule changes, and differences regarding the timing of our land acquisition on Elgin O'Hare. But overall, the key deliverables for the capital program were achieved in 2013. So you've seen the slide probably every quarter, but just as a reminder, in October, we did revise our estimates down from up from $986 million to $998 million, a $12 million increase. We also revised our allocations for maintenance and operations down by $14 million, and we reduced our debt allocation for debt service transfers as well as a result of less than planned debt issuances in addition to additional costs. We received savings we received on the funding. And then finally, we've increased our deposits to the capital accounts, which is the deposit to renewal, replacement, and improvement accounts. So for 2013,
Revenues reached over $1 billion. In comparing the revised estimates to the total for 2013, revenues increased by $12 million, again, driven by total and evasion recovery. $12 million, driven by $10 million of total and evasion recovery. We also had a bit of an increase in miscellaneous income as well. Maintenance and operations, as I mentioned, came in below budget by $6 million, or 2% of the budget. You can see that several factors contributed to this variance. Payroll and related costs, $4.6 million, including $500,000 for group insurance as a result of vacancies. Contractual services was $3.4 million lower, and this was primarily the result of reduced spending for consulting services and engineering and IT, as well as lower spending on some maintenance contracts for toll collection equipment. And there's some credit card fee, lower than planned credit card fees on this number as well. Materials and operational supplies was $1 million below budget. The mild winter weather that we had earlier this year was offset by more severe winter weather that we had in the fourth quarter. So earlier in the year, because of the mild winter weather, we were somewhat over budget in, under budget in the materials and operation supplies. Fourth quarter came in over budget by about $1.4 million in this area. So even though we did come in under budget for the year, it was due to mostly the milder weather in earlier in the year. And then these various impacts were offset by a $2.8 million increase to our workers' comp claim reserve fund. We contributed to this fund based on results from an actuarial study. And as we spoke in the, as it was mentioned in the committee meeting, we will continue to review these estimates and also the timing of these estimates and report back further as to our understanding as to the fluctuations of these numbers.
I just clarify for the other board members.
Sure.
We did have this amount reduced last year because of actuarial recommendations, and then they came back and they recommended an increase of this year. And what Kathy is referring to, and Chair Peterson in the committee said, why did we take it down if they're just going to increase it? Let's figure out how to sort of smooth this out and make sure that we've got the right numbers so that we're not, it doesn't look like there's this big budget variance when in fact there really hasn't been that much variance in spending. It's really what we're putting in the reserve. So that's what we're trying to figure out.
So one of the things that we did to talk about, because this contract, you know, we procure these services for an actuary and this contract is coming up. So, you know, thinking about changing the schedule of when we get the projection so that it's the yearly, the annual projection can come in at the appropriate time for us to set our budget so it doesn't have to be adjusted is one thing. And then, you know, asking them to be very conservative, obviously, in their approach, which we always hope they are, but,
And we mentioned it's a good time because we're about to start
the procurement process
on this. So the capital program expenditures were $87 million less than our revised estimate. If you add back $12 million of intergovernmental agreements, the total capital program was $99 million below our revised estimate. You can see that the variance, again, as I mentioned earlier, on Elgin O'Hare, $42 million, and that's mostly due to land acquisition, timing of land acquisitions. The variance related to system-wide improvements and the Jane Addams was a result mostly of schedule changes. This variance was a little offset by some advanced scheduling that was done on the Tri-State I-294-57 interchange. And again, this summarizes the variance. As you can see, timing of right-of-way acquisition, $49.7 million below. Scheduling changes contributed $30.6 million below. We did have project cost savings relative to our revised estimate of $2.8 million, but overall, in total, from our original estimates, our project cost savings for the year was $81 million. So in summary, again, revenues did exceed our target, mainly due to increased traffic and evasion recovery revenue. Our maintenance and operation expenditures were $6 million below our budget, mostly due, again, to vacancies and lower contractual services. Debt service transfers was less than $22 million less than budget, mostly due to, again, the timing of our issuances and other savings on refundings. And the capital program, again, $87 million below the revised estimate. Again, all of our key deliverables for the 2013 were achieved, and the reduced expenditure for overall in the program was a result of schedule changes and project cost savings. Any questions? And there are some additional slides in the appendix that go to more detail and more comparisons, and I think you've received the quarterly results as well in your handouts. Thank you.
Do you have a question? I was about to say, Kathy, you and Mike, you guys do an outstanding job. A lot of work and effort goes into this, and it's well done.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. And I always say I'm delighted that we manage the budget and we actually come in under it. And I hope I get to say it every year.
Yes.
And if I never don't get to say it, we'll be very unhappy.
That would be our goal then.
Good, because you would not want to make the end.
No, not at all. So in the context of our overall budget, obviously, one of the things that the tollway does to manage its capital program and pay the bills is issue debt. And I want to introduce Bill O'Connell, who's going to go through our debt management presentation. We're pleased to be moving forward with about $450 million in new money bonds next month, and thought now would be a good time to brief the board on debt management activities to date. We also covered some of this in our committee hearing last week, and were able to discuss in more detail with the Finance Committee some policy level questions that we need to have some guidance on to set up future discussions at future Finance Committee meetings. So, Bill, take it away.
Thank you.
We might be putting Mike Kelch out of a job here.
I don't know about that. Well,
he's still waiting for this.
He might be watching.
So, that's right. So what we're going to do today is recap a couple of items that we've completed this quarter, which is the refunding of the Series 2005A bond and the renewal and replacement of a majority of our credit and liquidity facilities, and then update you on the status of our next new money issuance, which will be coming in April. And then review a couple of upcoming items that we're going to be looking at in the next 2 to 3 months. We completed the refunding issuance of Series 2005A this quarter. As you may recall, in August, we were going to market to refund a portion of 2005A, and at that time did the earlier maturities. And in February, we came back and did the four later maturities of that bond issue. We're very pleased with the savings we achieved, a total of $57.3 million on a net present value basis, which equates to 8.6% of the refunded bonds, which is a very strong result. And this will produce debt service savings during the years 2017 to 2023. We do have two remaining refunding authorizations. One is $76 million of the remaining Series 2005A. That's an amount we don't really expect to do because those bonds are not callable for a very long time. They're callable only for 6 months. And so there are probably other options as we get closer to that July 1st, 2015 call date involving prepayment that will be the more likely options. There's also $292 million of outstanding Series 2006A bonds. Those are a candidate for refunding. negative arbitrage is inhibiting that at the moment, but we do think if rates were to stay where they are, that later this year, that is definitely a possibility to achieve more debt service savings for the authority. We've also continued to maintain an authorization of about $570 million to refund our synthetic fixed rate bonds. This is something we monitor in case there's an opportunity to fix out our synthetic fixed rate into a traditional fixed rate, which is a less risky product because of less reliance on liquidity and credit facilities and other third-party agreements. But to date, that hasn't been able to be executed at a cost that we think warrants that action. So we will continue to monitor that. One of the reasons for that is our cost for liquidity and credit facilities has declined. In December, the board authorized the renewal and replacement of 7 of our liquidity and credit facilities, and we completed those renewals and replacements in February and March. There were 4 renewals and 3 replacements, and as a result, we were able to reduce the annual cost of these facilities from 68 to 44 basis points, which is a reduction of about $9 million to $5.7 million annually. An update on the new money issuance. We are still planning to issue $450 million par amount in April. There's an authorization to do $500 million, but we budgeted $450 million in the first quarter and another $450 million in the fourth quarter, and we're staying with that plan. The current estimate of the 25-year rate for tollway bonds is about 4.7%. That's a conservative estimate. We hope to be a little under that. The budget projections assume 5% in 2014 and 5.5% after that. And the timing of the new money issuance is we expect to sell in April and close in May. And upcoming items over the next 2 to 3 months is to update our investment policy and debt management guidelines. The investment policy, you know, sets forth the investment objectives and investment options for the tollway. Our investment objectives and options are actually dictated by a combination of our investment policy, our trust indenture, and the Public Funds Investment Act. So one of the things we'll be doing as we review this is, you know, making sure we've got good consistency and clear communication about the 3 of those documents as they relate to our investment policy. The debt management guidelines establishes interest rate risk management policies and other debt management parameters that we'll be reviewing as well over the next 2 to 3 months. We also will be doing our annual post-issuance procedure compliance. This is a review of procedures that ensure that the tax-exempt proceeds that we're using are being used in accordance with the tax code. Also on tap for the next 2 to 3 months is authorizing additional new money bond issuance. After we complete our next new money issuance, we'll come back to the board for additional authorization for the bonding we plan to do later this year. And we will also continue to monitor the refunding opportunities for both 2006A and